thank you very much for coming out. This is the end of what was a thing that started here, because I would come here and put it together, and everybody was very good about it and indulgent. And now I've done that. I've come back with more bits of paper. Thanks for coming. I'm slightly joking, but only slightly. I forgot to do bits. And I thought, you were so good originally, I'd come back and show you the corners and the ends and the underneath of some bits that I forgot to do. The people who get elected tend to be people who look like they won't... I suppose they look like they won't break things, you know, or they'll just carry on, or they'll provide some sort of familiar pain. The guy they had here in Britain, Ed Miliband, was... a nice man. I think a lot of people thought that. He's a nice man, isn't he? He's the sort of person who'd borrow a rake off and say, I'll bring it back on Saturday or Monday or whatever it is. And you know you're not going to. It's only Ed. So you're going to, you know, whenever. And then the next Saturday rolls around, you still haven't brought it round, and then eventually, you know, he's been giving you looks as he drives past in his sensible car. And you go, oh, well, I better do it. And you say, sorry, stuff came up. You don't even try to give an excuse. You just go, some stuff came up, there you go. And it's hot, can I get a glass of water? And he would invite you in and say, he's such a nice person, he'd probably say, do you want a cup of tea? And you go, yeah. And wait for him to offer you one of those little Twixes from a multi-pack. Which he would do. And then you sit down and look around and say, can I stay for a few days? Because you know you can push him. And he'd go, look uncomfortable, and go, well, you know, my wife's, some of my family members are coming. Look, Ed, don't fuck me around. I want the big room. And he would, you know, he'd cave. He'd just go, well, have you got pets? Yeah, I've got pets. Well, what? Cats. How many cats? I don't know, Ed. Do I look like a fucking cat counter to you? Just... sort the room out. You're not finishing this lamb chomp, are you? And so a nice man, but politically speaking, an experiment. Who ran away from the lab before they turned around with the really important injection. He broke a hole in the window. He's running around the fields with his hospital gown flapping around his arse, pointing at trees. And that's why he didn't make it, okay? Now, Cameron, whatever else about him, he's not a very interesting person, but whatever else about him, they spent a lot of money on him. He knows what he's doing. It's a very simple act he's got. People like it when you stay in the middle of the road. He comes out, he goes, hey, have you got trousers and teeth? Me too. Let's fix this shit. And people like that. It's reassuring. Okay, it's kind of, but it tells you that we're living in extraordinary times, that the fact that you'd even heard of Nigel Farage, okay, who's one of these guys, and they're all over Europe now, the keep people away people. Okay? But he's an extraordinary looking man. You can't ever really trust anybody who always looks like they're about to vomit. It's always a bad sign. Hey, Nigel, what's up? And he's always talking about keeping people away, but somebody should have been there at through the wormhole in time that he came through and sealed that up and sent him back to the era when gravy was a solid substance on the periodic table. We went away. We went on holiday. We went somewhere obscure, you know, down in Eurovia, over the part of Europe you don't normally go to. You know, the sort of place you go to when you have diarrhea because it doesn't matter. The kind of place, you know, where they have a fair twice a year so they can count who died in the last 6 months. And they have all these stalls, you know, guess the weight of the testicle and throw rocks at the old woman. That stuff. And there was nothing going on. It was one of those towns, there was not that much going on. Everybody was dressed in white because they were celebrating something, you know. And when they have something to celebrate, they celebrate the hell out of it. So everybody was going, they were delighted with themselves. I found someone who spoke English. I said, what is this? They said, it's a goose day. Today is a goose day. And what do you do? We sing the goose song. A goosey, goosey, goo. A goosey, goo. A goose. And why are you wearing leather shorts? What is that part of the festivity? Well, really, it's about incest. And then there's nothing to do in the town. We had, you know, we went to the Museum of Suicide and had one of those pork skull hamburgers, and then there's nothing left. We had to go to the shop, where they sold ball gowns and tractor tyres and huge bunches of dill, AK-47s and Liam Neeson movies. That's what they actually had. And Liam Neeson makes two kinds of films, as you know, okay? There's the ones where he's a kind of cosmic force, like Zeus or Aslan. Presumably his agent rings him up and says, "Hey, Liam, I've got this thing for you. They want you to be 300,000 acres of topsoil in Nebraska." And then, or the other ones where he plays a very old hero. And that's what he was doing in this film. He was an older man who was a hero. And it was a film, he's a very good actor and everything, but the film wasn't terribly good. It was called The Grey, and it was about these people in an airplane that crashed. And they're surrounded by hostile territory. Wolves, snow, big trees, mountains, frozen rivers, the whole thing. And he's going around and he's helping everybody, going, "What's the matter with you there? Where's it? What's the matter?" "Yeah, the spinal fractures. I can't see or feel my own toes." "Oh, yeah. You have a mint. There you go." He's gathering everybody and then they're dragging them outside and they're climbing a mountain just using his face. He's fending off wolves with his key ring. "Fuck off there, wolves." There's huge piles of wolves gathering everywhere they go. "The fucking wolf from that snow, I can smell them." And you have to do a lot of serious suspension of disbelief to watch this film, okay? And I forgot to mention, I was drinking a local liqueur at the time. It was incredibly powerful stuff. I think it was made from bears. And it was a very, very weird drink. It was this thick sort of bronze color. And every time I drank it, I had to kind of clench my whole body. And so that by the end, I was sort of drinking it like this. And then I would look up and see what Liam was doing next. And I couldn't, so I was muttering at the film fairly early on. I just couldn't believe in any of it. I was going, "Fuck off, Liam, I'm not doing that." And he would say, "Come on, we're going to jump in the frozen river now." And I said, "No, Liam, we're never getting in the frozen river. Come on, I'm Liam Neeson, I can do whatever I want." "No, Liam." And he turned around, because I'd had about six of these things, and he turned around and started talking to me. And he said, "Come on, what's the matter with you?" I said, "I don't want to get in the frozen river, Liam. Stop putting the fucking pressure, I can't take it. It's wet and it's frozen. That's strike two on those counts. I can't get in there." He said, "Come on, it'll be great. I'm the hardest 98-year-old bastard in the world. I can do whatever I want. Look, I turned that rock into a hors d'oeuvre right there. Did you see that? I made a 16th century lute out of the intestines of a wild hare this morning, just using some weeds and that tabletop thing you get in pizzas." I said, "No, Liam, I can't. Fuck off. Leave me alone. The pressure's too much. I can't be that person. I mean, have you ever had a bath?" "That goes on a bit too long, doesn't it? You have to do that whole drying thing. That's incredibly tedious. Drying the lump of pork you have to haul around with you everywhere. It's not really you, is it? It doesn't feel like it's really you. It's just you live on the top floor most of the time, pacing back and forth like a slum landlord up there. Bless you. It sneezes, it farts, it coughs, it does all these terrible things all day long. Then you get older and it does them non-stop. You haven't eaten in 3 weeks, you walk around farting. You get to a certain point in your life, the ground is just paved with live ducks. You get judged by young, fashionable people looking at you going, "Oh, you're so disgusting and weird and old and middle-aged." Yes, we are. I'll tell you something else. You know what? We still have sex. Yes, we do. It's all about Eastern techniques and scatter cushions. Having emergency services numbered on speed dial, because sometimes you have to phone them up and go, "Help! I've just anally inhaled a scatter cushion and a gas. Help me!" A lot of you young people here are too young to really have a past. You know, you talk about that time you vomited or fell down the stairs. I'm, with all due respect, that is not a past. I mean, you people, what do you know? You don't have all the cultural pressure we grew up with, this generation, the one that you hate, for taking everything away from you. You don't even appreciate the extraordinary liberty you have. You didn't grow up with Bible stories or any of that. You don't know them. I know you don't, because I've spoken to my own children. They don't know anything. I said, "Come on, tell me one." They go, "There's that one where Jesus drank the whales. What are you talking about?" They don't have a clue. Because you've got the technology instead. to keep you from feeling alone. But of course it doesn't, does it? I mean, there's really only two states left for a human being now. There's about to be on a phone or on a phone. One of my absolute favorite things to do in the whole world is to not be on the phone. Sometimes afterwards, as a little reward, I go on the phone. You see, when I was your age, and I know some of you are older than me, but still, it still works. When I was your age, it just depends what angle from the universe you're in. It was so great. It was so great being unaware of everything as you are. It was like a permanent kind of now. It was like being fenced in by walls of 10-mile-high now. Nothing, no consequence. It's slightly different if you're female, probably. Women have more of a conception of the idea of consequence as an action. They can imagine it. Men tend to experience, you know, can only they can imagine the consequence of their actions days after people have stopped speaking to them. I happen to be with a very stimulating, challenging person who asks me questions I can't answer. She will walk through the kitchen and see me and go, "Are you wearing that shirt?" "It's looking that way." "But we're supposed to be going out! Out of the house! People will see me with you! Works out rather well for you! Not for me! Because you look like you make a living fighting pigs in a hole in the ground!" "Go and put a different shirt on, for fuck's sake." I do it, I don't argue. I go and do the thing. You've seen those men, you've seen them out. You know men who look dressed like they've been told to put something nice on? They sit there going, "Am I nice?" In their smock, which looks like macaws vomiting pineapples. "Am I nice?" Some corny, destroying fucking confection that they're wearing. "This is nice." They don't, men have no idea. No idea what's nice. Oh, after a certain point, once they get past the point where they can look like you and you and you and you and you, you get to this shape, and all you can wear is just clothes that look strictly janitorial. All the colours are like internal organs. Kidney-coloured clothes, liver-coloured clothes, that's what you're allowed to wear. Because you've become this schlumpf. You're not a person anymore. You're just this bit of landscape that occasionally people crawl over and find fivers. You spend your whole life saying, "Whatever," because you don't want to get into fights. Whatever you want, Italian restaurant, not Indian, whatever, I don't mind. Your friend is coming, Beatrice, the one who talks, even when she's not talking, whatever, that's fine. I'm not allowed to wear anything from the waist down, whatever, that's fine, I'm ready, I'll do it, whatever. I'm not gonna argue with you. You think I'm insane? You can fuck me up in seconds. I mean, I might sound down on myself. I might, that's possible, you might think that way. But I'm not negative, I'm not as negative as women are a lot of the time. My wife sometimes says she's very hard on herself. She was berating herself recently. I was saying, "Stop it, stop talking about yourself like that. You're a terrific person. I'm so glad I'm with you." But she was on a roll. She couldn't stop. She was going, "Yeah, well, I'm just with you because I have such low self-esteem." You can't argue with that, can you? Sometimes you see this glazed expression. It happens to women a lot of the time, I think, when they're arguing with men. They sort of, because you're talking and they just go off. I think and then they come back. I think what happens is they just imagine being with another man and they realise in that little journey, oh no, he'd be wrong as well. So they come back. They're all the fucking same. I am aware, when I speak about gender and time and age and so on, that it could sound very old-fashioned. I am aware of that. Now, I have no desire to bring anything back from the past, or indeed to leapfrog into the future. I consider myself a contemporary. I am a modern man. I moisturize. I said it there, I don't care. I mean, not excessively, 2-3 times a day. It's a scrotum, how young can it look? But... And you see, you have all this liberty. You're free of all the prejudices that my generation had. Like all that stuff about, say, one of the few things that everybody used to be united about in this country and when I was growing up was in Ireland and Britain, was laughing at the Germans. People would do that. Say, oh, they have no sense of humour. People still do it. But you don't have to do it. Because you can go there and talk to people and have relationships with people and speak German and live over there and become German. And realise that, of course, they do. I went over there and I did a show. Of course people have a sense of humour. It might be a bit different, but it's a sense of humour. What is absolutely true about Germany is that it's very hard to eat there if you don't eat pig. That is true. The whole country runs on pig. Every nation depends on something, and in Germany, it's pig. If you sit down with a cup of tea in Germany, people will leap from the shadows and start grinding bacon into your tea for you. They absolutely thrive on that stuff. Salami and sausage is everywhere. And I don't like it. I don't eat it. I don't eat anything that's 3 letters long. I was walking around Berlin, I was starving. I was deaf with my own rumbling, walking around trying to find anything I could eat. And I finally saw this sign outside a restaurant. It said veggie. You know how long the compound words are in Germany? It's annoying, very hard to read, especially if you don't understand German. Vegetarische Schlupfenheiferkausenstutzefatzegütchenschlussefatzebatzezuppe. It said. So I thought, that's got to be vegetable soup. I went in, there was one guy there behind the counter. I said, excuse me, is that vegetable soup? Is that what it is? He said, yeah, it's really tasty. I made it this morning. You should eat it. It's super yummy. He was from Campenzalen. And I said, but there's no pork in there, because I know you people are very keen on your animal products and everything. Are you sure there's no pork in there? He said, no, I told you. What's the matter with you? You're a funny little man. Come inside. Stop standing in the doorway like that, like fleshy bunting. Come inside. You weirdo, you're freaking me out. You just step in so I can see you properly. Oh, you look naughty. I like you. You're weird and naughty. What kind of pervert are you? Come in and sit. I want to watch you. How do you eat soup, I wonder? In half moons or cubes? You want me to fling it at you from the other side of the room? Or maybe tie you up and dunk you in a bucket of soup, you filthy weirdo pervert? Is that what you want? I will call you names. I said, I really would just like, I'm starving, I just want some soup. I said, oh, okay, be like that then. He went away and came back with this huge bowl of soup and some delicious dark bread, and it was really good. And I was watching me the whole time, I was about halfway through, and he leaned over and he said, you like it? It's nice, it's tasty, like I said, yes? I said, it's so good, thank you so much. And he said, ha ha, I have jokes, it is made of pigs. For this particular one, we just use the faces because they're soupier. Ha 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 ha. It is so funny. And so they have a sense of humor, it's just that it's different, that's all.